Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Midday News. We're live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra, and Kumasi on Love 99.5 FM. We're also live on myjoyonline.com, live in all 16 regions. We're on Radio Somali in Wa. We are in Bedering FM in Boom, Kurugu Radio Max in Takrady. We're live on X Spaces. We're on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrol Soul, your clean fuel in full quantity. Petrol Soul is always a delightful experience. Also brought to you by Duroplus Ghana Limited, producers of quality PVC and HDPE pipes and water tank. We're the only water storage tank with a level in indicator where Duroplus goes, water flows. This afternoon, a National Investigation Bureau nationwide survey tips Energy Minister Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh as a preferred candidate to partner Dr. Mahmood Bawumia as running mate ahead of the December polls.
You do want a competent person, and of course he is competent, but then you also do want the numbers as well, and you want to galvanize the base and bring about some enthusiasm within your political region. And I do think he's going to do that.
But the survey is raising some concerns. We'll share that with you. Also this afternoon, some public hospitals, including Major Referral Center, Kolebu Teaching Hospital, direct patients to seek laboratory services in private facilities as a nationwide strike by medical laboratory professional workers intensifies.
It's about my health. They said my sugar level was too high, so they gave me a lab test to run.
And you are also pregnant?
Yes.
No matter to this day. I'm pregnant and I'm tired.
We're live on the ground and also get to hear from the striking union, which insists on carrying on with the action and will not be intimidated by threats to return. Also, Ghana's Supreme Court perpetually prevents public figures from promoting alcoholic beverages.
Our friends can advertise or endorse any product, but just let's take this alcohol out of it. Look at it from other countries and you know what is happening to the youth who are hooked on alcohol.
We have sports.
Ghana's amputee national football team revealed they've been forced to buy jerseys from local market due to sports ministry neglect ahead of the 2024 AFCON.
And much later, the debate on the Dutch passport versus a Ghanaian PhD will simply not go away. As a member of the House of Lords in the United Kingdom, Lord Paul Boateng joins the discussion.
There's something terrible when that goes viral on the internet. Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. And if it is so, it must not be so.
Details of that and more here on the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau, and this is your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. Please do stay on for details. Start with the election headquarters made possible by Petrol Soil, your clean fuel in full quantity. SIMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, SIMA, AICPA and SIMA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, the German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, and Youth Bridge Foundation. Bridge and Guards for Positive Youth Development. This afternoon, Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh, the Minister of Energy and Member of Parliament for Mainshire South, is widely preferred among party members as a running mate to the NPP presidential candidate, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia, for the 2024 general elections. That's the conclusion of a National Investigation Bureau survey conducted nationwide. According to the report secured by Joy News, Dr. Prempeh, also known as NAPO, is a preferred choice, especially among constituency and polling station executives who constituted the largest segment of the sample, corresponding to 36.2% and 32.6% respectively. Well, member of our political desk, Elton Brobe, joins me in studio with more. Elton, please walk us through the survey results.
So according to the NIB, in anticipation of the selection of a running mate by Dr. Mahmood Bawumia, the MP presidential candidate for the 2024 general election, the National Intelligence Bureau conducted a comprehensive nationwide survey from June 12 to 14. The survey targeted MPP delegates, including national, regional, constituency, and polling station executives, utilizing the party's delegates album to ensure a representative sample. The survey pulled 5,116 party executives. And this is the breakdown. Dr. Poku Pempa, according to the NRB, also known as NAPO, who currently serves as the Minister of Energy and Member of Parliament for Menchasa, secured 76.2% of the responses from executive pulled, making him the leading candidate for the position of running mate to Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, the MPP's presidential candidate for the 2024 general elections. Following him is Yao Osei Aduchum, the Minister of Education, a member of parliament for Bosumtwi, also in the Ashanti region, who garnered 10.1% of the responses from the pulled executives. Other notable personalities the delegates considered as potential running mates include Apostle Opoku Unyina, former chairman of the Pentecost Church of Ghana, and Brian Champom, the Minister of Food and Agriculture. Then they give us a breakdown here. So Matthew Poku Pempa at 76.2, followed by Yao Osei Aduchum, 10.1, others 4.5, Osei Chairman Sabunsu, 3.38%, Fema Osei Opari, the Chief of Staff, 3.4%, and Joe Osei Wusu, 2.2%. Ebefa, they goes on to say that Dr. Poku Pempa emerged as the most preferred choice. A significant majority of respondents, approximately 84%, view Dr. Poku Pempa as the ideal running mate to the vice president due to his charisma and popularity among party members. About 88% believe he is the party's choice to pair Dr. Bawumia. Mm-hmm. However, 94% of respondents said the running mate nominee should be a male. However, 89% stated they will accept whoever Dr. Bawumia selects as a running mate. They were also asked about which region they prefer the running mate should come from. Mm-hmm. The Ashanti region is leading the pack with 92.6%, followed by the Eastern region 1.8%, followed by the Central, Greater Accra, Volta, Bono, Northern, and the Upper West region at 0.4% is the last region.
Well, so the survey also sampled regional views on the preferred running mates. Mm. What's the results on that?
So the regional views as we have it, so 92% says that the running mates will come from the Ashanti.
Okay.
Followed by the Eastern region 1.8%, the Greater Accra 1.4%, the Upper West region is the last with 0.04%.
Well, so the NIB, however, makes some recommendations. Let's go through it.
They say that Dr. Matthew Poku Pempa is highly preferred as the best pair for Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia due to his popularity and strong connection with the grassroots of the party. His nomination for the position of running mate will resonate with the grassroots. This will potentially foster party unity essential for enhancing Dr. Bawumia's chances, particularly in the Ashanti region, a stronghold of the MPP. This conclusion is reinforced by an early survey conducted by the NIB in January 2024, which assessed electorate's choice of running mates across Ghana. Dr. Matthew Poku Pempa again was preferred among voters for the choice of running mates to Dr. Bawumia. Given Dr. Pempa's current role as the Minister of Energy, the ongoing power crisis in Ghana could impact his candidacy. However, they say that government may need to implement necessary measures to solidify his competence in managing the energy sector, thereby enhancing the party's project in the 2024 general election. So, and then they give the breakdown, they summarize it in a graphic form.
And I can't wait to get more of this subsequently also on The Pulse later with Elton Broby on the Joy News channel. There's more also on myjoyonline.com. But the author of the book, Dr. Bawumia, the Morning Vice President of Ghana, Professor H.S. Ikanku, says Dr. Pempa's candidature will add more to the MPP's ticket.
In a year in which you have the presidential candidate not coming from the stronghold, to have a VP candidate who is a scion of the Ashanti kingdom or tradition right from the heart of Ashanti, definitely a huge factor because, yes, you do want a competent person, and of course he is competent, but then you also do want the numbers as well, and you want to galvanize the base and bring about some enthusiasm within the political, your political region. And I do think he's going to do that for them. I mean, those are your judgments about his temperament. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, he knows what he's about. And some look at confidence as arrogance. I don't know what you make of this.
I think he's a doer. I think he just gets stuff done. He was the Minister of Education.
At the time the implementation of the Free SHS started.
Thank you.
And he was given a task to do it within 2017. And by the time the new academic year started in 2017, Free SHS was in place.
Yep. And so you do need sometimes a bulk work figure, somebody of such aggression, somebody of, somebody with such stature, mm-hmm. and who is ready to move, a kind of a huge doer, somebody who really moves and gets. And so, you know, sometimes such people do not really have time for small talk and for other things, and they just go and get things done and might rub people the wrong way. Mm-hmm. But he was definitely a very critical figure mm-hmm. in the implementation of the biggest policy promise
of this administration.
Of the administration. Mm-hmm.
That's Professor H.S. Ikankwe there speaking to my colleague Elton Brobe. Meanwhile, the National Democratic Congress has officially announced its national campaign team for the upcoming polls. Key members of the team, Fififi Avikwete, General Secretary, is the campaign coordinator. Dr. Joseph Yamin is the National Organizer and Deputy Campaign Coordinator, Regional Campaigns. Richard Kwashiga is the Deputy Campaign Coordinator, Parliamentary Campaigns. Chief Hamilton Nixon Biney is a Deputy Campaign Coordinator, Special Operations. Sami Jenfi, National Communications Officer, George Opariado, National Youth Organizer, and Peter Alabi. We're hearing that Mr. Alabi is now the entire national campaigns for the party. There's more of that on myjoyonline.com. Now, away from the election headquarters, as the nationwide strike by medical laboratory professional workers intensifies, several public hospitals, including the major referral center, Kolebu Teaching Hospital, are pushing patients to seek laboratory services from private facilities. While this strike has severely disrupted diagnostic services, the striking laboratory workers are demanding swift negotiations on their conditions of services or won't return to the labs. But the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission has described their move as unfair. We'll get to hear from them shortly, but first, let's examine the extent of the impact of the strike. Head of our health desk, Fred Smith, is at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital here in Accra. He joins us on the line with more on this. So, Fred, I know you've been visiting the central lab. You've also been visiting some private facilities at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital. It appears pregnant women and children are the most affected. Tell us more.
Indeed, MFA, there are lots of pregnant women who need laboratory services to be able to see doctors to take care of their pregnancies, especially those with complications. But unfortunately, the medical laboratory workers are on strike and are therefore unable to get it. Some of these are referral cases, and these patients have had to travel long distances to Kolebu just to get the examinations done. Unfortunately, they are stranded here, and there are lots of pregnant women still stranded. They don't know what to do because some of them did not even budget to access the service outside the hospital's facility. MFR at the children's unit is completely deserted. Children who need cancer treatment and children who also need sickle cell treatment have all been turned away.
Point. Around the hospital, we have collection point that they bring the samples here. But a lot of the people come here direct, the OPD service, people from outside Kolebu, they come to Central Lab to run the test. So this place is normally busy.
So it's also for referrals?
Yes, it's a referral center.
Mm-hmm.
It's a referral center for Accra and outside Accra.
And this are-
So I'm appealing to the authority, those that are in charge, to help them solve their issue so that we too, we can also be happy. Because in my condition, all the way from La Paz, New Market to this place, I'm pregnant and I'm tired. The walking, sitting in the car, the movement here and there, is very difficult to reach here.
I'm here to see the doctor and do some labs she prescribes for me.
I can do
it. I'm here to see the doctor and she gave me some love for me to bring them to her.
Okay.
And when I get to the laboratory, it has been closed.
Okay, so what did you come to see the doctor about?
It's about my health. They said my sugar level was too high.
Well, some pregnant women interacting with you there, Fred. You also visited the public health facility, a key facility when it comes to diseases in this country. What did you observe when you visited that facility too?
Well, MFR, I've been to the public health reference laboratory. That has also been shut. There's a skeletal staff there, but they are not undertaking, they are not receiving any cases at all. And these labs are crucial for the detection of cases such as HIV, cholera, and other infections that break out. So, for instance, if there's an outbreak in the regions, all those cases will have to be confirmed at this laboratory. But it has been shut. And so, for instance, if there's a major outbreak of a disease, we would not be able to confirm it as a country.
Well, that's ahead of our health desk, Fred Smith. They're monitoring the situation at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital. Let me take you to the Greater Accra Regional Hospital. My colleague Kenneth Ejesi is on the ground as well. Ken, what's the situation there? Any different?
Well, the hospital wouldn't allow us to speak to patients, but we observed that the door leading to the laboratory had been shut with a red band covering the door's handle, and patients needing lab services are being redirected to different laboratories. Patients are told the moment they arrive at the hospital that the laboratory is not working due to the ongoing strike, so most of them head straight to different laboratory facilities. For the ones that do not know, they are often left disappointed when they get to the door of the lab and are told to go elsewhere. And because the facilities they are redirected to are mostly private, they fear they will incur more costs than they ordinarily would have if these tests were done at the Greater Accra Regional Hospital, which, of course, is a government facility. And for some of the patients that cannot afford the private laboratory, they are only hoping and praying that the strike will not last further.
Okay. And that's my colleague Kenneth J.C. in the situation at the Greater Accra Regional Hospital, the Ridge Hospital, as we call it, at the University of Ghana Medical Center, UGMC. Outpatients and patients with appointments for various lab tests are being attended to at a mini lab that can only accommodate a limited number of persons because the main labs have been closed. My colleague Semefa Besu spoke to the head of client services and PR at UGMC, Barbara Owusu-Heming, and a couple of patients.
Currently, UGMC is operating. Our lab services are functional, and so service is ongoing.
All right, so you have your lab technicians.
All I can say is that service has not been interrupted. We are currently offering services to our dear clients.
Yeah, so I'm saying things are moving on smoothly because apparently I came in yesterday, and then ahead of the strike yesterday when I came in, there were lots of people here, so I got scared. So I went home and then someone told me that UGMC is handling things, so I should come in today. So I came in and, as expected, I'm being taken care of as smoothly as even if the labs were in. So, yeah, that's fine.
What's your name?
I'm Jonathan.
I was here around 6:30, exactly. I went to Cadro, and then they sent me to the lab, the other one, and the main lab. They said they are on strike. So it took me about 3 hours to wait for to get another lab here.
Well, the situation is a bit different. Either in UGMC and you heard them there. Well, let me take you to the central region. And Eric Asante has been monitoring the situation in the central region. Eric, what can you report?
So, MFA, the inscription strike notice meets anyone who enters the laboratory section at the Winneback Trauma Hospital here in the central region. The scene at the trauma hospital is distressing to say the least. Patients requiring laboratory tests say they've been left stranded. Some of them tell me they are feeling the pinch, both financially and, of course, emotionally. MFA, to my surprise, there was a family of a patient who were randomly asking people on the road to see if they could possibly donate blood in a nearby private facility. So what I witnessed at the trauma hospital is painting a distressing picture of the impact of the strike here in the central region.
That's my colleague Eric Masante there giving us a situation in the central region. Let's head to the Ashanti region now and laboratory units at the Menchia Government Hospital and the Konfanochi Teaching Hospital in Kumasi have also been closed, and we are told patients are being referred to private labs. Clinton Yeboa, what did you witness?
Currently at the Menchia Hospital, the offices have been closed with red banners. And also from the faces of the patients, you can see huge distress. A young lady I spoke to, who is going through a post-delivery condition requiring laboratory services, has been turned away. And you can see how stranded she is at the premises, whilst doctors and nurses also walk away with no one to attend to her.
That's my colleague Clinton Yeboah. They're giving us the situation in the Ashanti region. Now, meanwhile, the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission is unhappy about the strike, describing it as unfair, and has called on the National Labour Commission to intervene. My colleague Mamie Senior Mitchell Thompson joins me in studio with details of that statement. What does it say, Mamie C?
So, MFA, according to the statement, it states categorically that the position of the union is inaccurate because negotiations have progressed steadily and the parties have reached consensus on 29 out of the 39 items they submitted. Now, even though the pace of negotiations may not be as rapid as the union may have expected, the union will concede that since the appearance of the parties before the NLC on the 16th of May and the 30th of May 2024, there's been a renewed sense of urgency on the part of government team with more frequent meetings with the union. And according to the statement, it says that the last meeting held on the 31st of May 2024, it was concluded that the parties engaged further with their principals and with a view to moving from entrenched positions towards a middle ground acceptable to all. But the notice of the strike by the Laboratory Workers Union is untenable, and it is unnecessary, unfair, unjustifiable. Those are the words of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, and especially telling the National Labour Commission to cease with the matter and give directives in respect of the same, for which the parties are to report back to the NLC by 20th June, which is tomorrow. In the circumstances, they are humbly praying on the NLC to intervene to sustain the industrial harmony between the union and the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission.
Thank you very much, Mamie. So let me bring in the General Secretary of the Medical Laboratory Professional Workers, Cephas Kofi Akoto. We are grateful for your time here on the Midday News. So I've painted a national picture of the impact of your action with pregnant women and children the most affected. What will make you change your mind?
In fact, we are not very happy about the current development. I have just heard about the Fair Wages press statement from your delivery. I will reserve my comments about what they are saying, but I can just put on record that Fair Wages is not being fair. Mm. Fair Wages should have been a bit more proactive in their engagement, because we are essential service workers. We should not be treated like any kind of people.
Why is the Fair Wages not being fair, Mr. Akoto? Why is the Fair Wages not being fair?
Fair Wages has always treated us with contempt. If you check the history of our negotiations, at any point before Fair Wages were engaged us, it has always been out of protest. We've never written to them requesting for a meeting, and Fair Wages will act upon that. And at all times, our engagement will take about a three-month cycle. We'll have one meeting today. The next engagement will be about 3 months later, 4 months later. It has not been fair. Mm. I would not want to go into media banter with them. What we need is that let us engage. When we meet at the negotiation table, we can delve deeper into the issue, because it looks like people are trying to put some information there to look to make their case look very good. We are not interested in that. We want results. We want our people to be free in their mind, so when they are turning to cases, they will not report wrong results, because we are scientists. We need to be clear in our mind in everything that we do. Fair Wages should have known better that the kind of promises they gave the Labour Commission is not what they delivered at the last meeting.
Well, we understand the concerns you may have been raising, but Mr. Akoto, at this point, will you temper justice with mercy at this point? Will you be fair consumers as well? You've heard the impact.
Yes, we the leadership currently, we are handicapped. We are seriously handicapped, because members are accusing us of taking bribes. And for that matter, they no longer trust us.
Okay.
And so they are acting in a way for us to see that they are desperate. And that is what has led to this.
So you won't call the action off?
We are trying our best, but I prefer that up to this point, Fair Wages could have engaged for us to talk further.
Okay. Ms. Akoto, this is an issue that we'll continue to engage you further on. Unfortunately, I'm out of time on this. That's the General Secretary, Cephas Kofi Akoto, is a medical laboratory professional workers General Secretary, joining us with details of this action, taking us on a quick break here on the Midday News. Live on Joy 99.7 FM in Accra, and Kumasi on Love 99.5 FM. Also live on myjoyonline.com, made possible by Petrosol, your clean fuel in full quantity. Petrosol is always a delightful experience. Also brought to you by Duroplus Ghana Limited, producers of quality PVC and HDP pipes. To where DuraPlus goes, water flows. We've been talking about the National Investigation Bureau nationwide survey that's tipping Energy Minister Dr. Matthew Okpoku-Prempeh as a preferred candidate to partner Dr. Mahmood Bawumia as running mate ahead of the December polls. We'll return from the break with sport, and the debate on the Dutch passport versus a Ghanaian PhD will simply not go away. This time, a member of the House of Lords in the United Kingdom, Lord Paul Boateng, has been joining the discussion.
There's something terrible when that goes viral on the internet. Say it isn't so.
Say it isn't so. And if it is so, it must not be so.
A midday news time for sports.
Yes, MFA. So Ghana's amputee football team have revealed they had to buy their jerseys from Cantamantu Market for the 2024 AFCON in Egypt due to neglect from authorities. Now, after winning the title, the team received donations, including $10,000 from former President John Mahama. Now, the sports minister, Mustafa Yusuf, is demanding an account of all donations received, a request that does not sit well with the team's head coach, Richard Obing.
We went to Cantamantu to buy them because our budget was not approved from the ministry because they have to sanction via GFA to get the national jerseys for us. And time was not by our side and time was going. So as a coach, I always have plan B with the management in that, okay, why not? Let's go get it. We have done it before. So out of the donations we had to go to Cantamantu to go buy them because the printing alone takes time. We don't have the machines ourselves, so we have to go to the suit printer. So we quickly had to go to Cantamantu to get two set of jerseys and we came back to print the names and Ghana on them and put the logos of our sponsors who sponsored that on the jerseys because, you know, this is a lot of work to do.
Interesting. Hey. MFA, that's your sports, yeah?
Ghana, my happy home. Well, let me take you to the court now. The Supreme Court has, by a majority decision, upheld a Food and Drugs Authority directive that bars celebrities from endorsing alcoholic drinks in a lawsuit brought by CEO of Black Culture Music, Mark Darlington Osai, ending a highly publicized 19-month legal battle. Well, today's ruling by the Supreme Court effectively means that well-known personalities or professionals are perpetually barred from appearing in advertisements promoting alcoholic drinks. Well, my colleague Latif Idris was in court for us, joins us on the line with more. So what exactly was the reason the court gave for arriving at this decision?
Yeah, so MFA, the plaintiff, as part of the petition he sent to the Supreme Court, wanted a declaration that on a true and proper interpretation of Article 17.1 and 17.2 of the 1992 Constitution, the directive by the Food and Drugs Authority is discriminatory and inconsistent with the two articles I just quoted. Now, delivering the ruling, the Chief Justice, Justice Tokonu, mentioned that these two examples given by the plaintiff does not contravene the 1992 Constitution, and so the Supreme Court has upheld the directive by the Food and Drug Authority.
Well, you've been interacting with George Quay. We can listen to him on this.
Celebrities will continue to do it. Like I said, the loss is on the FDA. Because you see, this thing that you're fighting, I've given examples where it shows clearly that the FDA is already not winning this battle. You understand me? Celebrities are reasonable human beings. A couple of people are reasonable human beings. Sit with them and let us find common ground. Because events are, unless you want to throw a blanket ban on alcoholic beverages doing anything at all in this country, then throw it. But you see now, the problem is not even, it's even gone beyond alcohol. Look, go to the betting companies and all those places, you understand? It is even crazier over there and you're focusing on, the interesting thing is that the kids these days, the products they're even consuming, we don't even advertise them.
That's George Quay there speaking for the celebrities. Well, the debate on the Dutch passport versus the Ghanaian PhD will simply not go away. Listen to Member of the House of Lords in the United Kingdom, Lord Paul Boateng, joining the discussion.
The statement on the internet that a Dutch passport is worth more than a Ghanaian PhD. There's something terrible when that goes viral on the internet. Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. And if it is so, it must not be so. It must not be so. We cannot allow it to...